Well, you know the old saying, what you don't know can't hurt you. Well, not exactly the case when it comes to inheritance conversations with your children. You don't want to leave them with any surprises if you can help it. Today, we're going to tell you why.
Do you know what will happen to your loved ones when something happens to you? If you don't know the answer or don't like the answer, then this is the show for you. Listen up as we teach you about protecting your family legacy through better estate planning. Our family is here to protect yours. So welcome to the Complete Estate Planning Podcast with attorney Nick Rosenbauer. And here's your host, Ben George.
Well, glad to have you inside another episode of Complete Estate Planning. He is Nick Rosenbauer, estate planning attorney. He's also the owner of the Rosenbauer Law Office in Westchester, Ohio. And I'm Ben George. Glad to have you on the show today. Nick, I didn't tell you this ahead of time, but this is episode 100. Congratulations, my friend.
Is it really 100? No kidding.
Yeah.
Cool. And they haven't kicked us off the air yet.
Still going strong. Still hearing from people all across the country. So
Want
to just take a second to thank everyone that's reached out through the podcast and got in touch with you. I know you've heard from a lot of folks.
Yeah, all across the country. I should pour a drink right now while we're on the podcast.
Insert the glug right now. The clinking glasses.
Well, I have because I and for those of you who don't know, my microphone and kind of where we record this is in my own individual office here at the office, which is also where I keep a few bottles of bourbon. So I am within arm's reach of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of 12 different bottles I can access right now while we are talking. So they are not out of reach. So it could be done if needed to.
Are you legally allowed to offer your clients a pour while they're in your office?
Well, assuming they're 21.
Right.
And I don't overserve them. I don't see a problem with it as long as it would have to be after, you know, things were signed or decisions were made. So anytime when I, you know, needed their mental competence for making decisions, signing, executing documents, that sort of thing. So I guess legally there wouldn't be a problem if we said, hey, you've completed it. Congratulations. You know, let's have a toast after it's all done.
It's got me thinking, could you fight an estate plan if the person that set it up was under the influence with their attorney when they put it into place? Could you argue that they weren't of sound mind?
Well, if you're drunk, certainly.
Yeah.
Or under the influence of alcohol. Now, I will say this, there's nothing... You know, in Ohio's laws, as far as testamentary capacity with a certain blood alcohol content, so I don't think it says if you're under a 0.08, you are sober enough to legally sign an estate plan. If you're over it, you are not. But should we have a breathalyzer?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. There's all kinds of ways. I know we talk about some crazy estate planning situations, especially with celebrities. I'm surprised it's never come up at some point.
No, absolutely. But yeah, that's what you do. You say sign it, and then as soon as you sign it, witness notarize it, now you can take a sip.
All right, very good. Well, glad to talk to you on episode 100 today.
Yeah.
And this one is going to be more of a conversation about just don't put your kids in a bind, right?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. But basically, and I will say this, this isn't always as dramatic as you see on the TV shows with the reading of the will and like some Sherlock Holmes looking butler, and the maid gets everything and there's the wife, the ex-wife and the fifth ex-wife and they've all been jilted. You know, it doesn't happen like that. But at the same time, pleasant surprises after you've passed away or after you get sick usually don't go well. Okay. And I think obviously people have to be comfortable sharing this personal, private information with the family, with the kids, whomever. But the more people know ahead of time, usually the smoother it goes. Okay. Because, you know, I'm not a big fan of bad surprises after I've lost a parent. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a really crummy time to do all of that. There is a comfort in knowing what's next and knowing that it's taken care of, even if it's not all the details, knowing, hey, everything's taken care of, it's been buttoned up, it'll be fine. There's some comfort in that. And we'll talk about some specifics here. But yeah, just smoothing the road and less of a shock or, you know, surprise, unless you want this to be like a Lifetime movie or Knives Out, I think was the one with the James Bond guy. Did you see that movie where they're all kind of walking around, someone's dead, and they're waiting for the reading of the will on his $100 million? Yeah. So,
yeah,
that happens a lot around here. So.
Well, traditionally, though, too, hasn't it? I mean, I could be wrong on this, but I always assume just kind of like, you know, the way your parents would always handle finances, right? Don't need to tell your kids anything. Has it always kind of traditionally been that way with estate planning, where it's like, hey, we don't need to tell our kids anything. They don't need to know anything. But this is maybe changing a little bit more.
Well, you're exactly right about that. The family I grew up in was none of your darn business. You'll find out when you're dead. To this day, I still have no idea if, you know, my dad has millions of bucks or if, you know, we were always one car repair away from losing the house growing up. I still have no idea to this point. I will say it usually comes into place when one of the children starts helping out while mom or dad is still alive. If they need help and... You know, I guess at that point you have to disclose some things. Like if I need one of my kids to help me pay my bills, I have to let them know where my checkbook is. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, and also I will say the more unusual the situation, the more likely it is to let someone know. If I say, look, when I pass away, the oldest kid's going to be in charge, everything's going equal shares, and we have exactly as much money as you. As everyone thinks we have, there's not going to be any surprises. Yeah, I don't know how much of a big deal that is, but
yeah.
You know, when someone else is in charge, and one of the things we'll talk about is, and I talk to people a lot when they say, you know, their children, you know, and they've done very well, self-made, and you know, worked hard and saved. And I've had a lot of people. I was talking to someone yesterday. Said, our kids know that we're doing okay. We live in an all right house. We send them to Catholic school. But they have no idea how much we are actually worth. So it will be a total shock to them and they won't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that sort of thing. And we had a big conversation around that.
Hmm. Well, let's get into it then. So when we talk about this setting your kids up and letting them kind of in on what to expect, what specifically are we talking about? How much are you preparing them for, or what are you preparing them for?
Well, and this is a sliding scale of sharing everything versus sharing nothing, but some things to keep in mind and at least be on your radar. We'll start with what we just mentioned. Do they have any idea how much money is coming? Okay, if it is less than they were expecting, you know, and I kind of roll my eyes at this, but there's sometimes when people are counting on it. You know, I'm counting on money from my parents or my grandparents or my sibling to make sure I'm okay. And the money's not going to be there. Okay. Then what do we do about that? I know one of the items here where I would see this is if there was someone who required special care, you know, maybe a child, grandchild, sibling was disabled, had special needs, and you know, you were kind of counting on this, that there'd be some extra money around so that you could take care of your brother or sister or whoever you needed to take in under your wing. And you were always kind of assuming that there'd be some extra money there to help facilitate that. If it's not coming, it's a good idea to know that so you can figure out other arrangements. And do you need to add on to your house? Do you need to get a new job? Something like that. And then the flip side, which is a good one, what if it's way more than expected? Okay, Ben, I don't, you know, like what would happen if some random lawyer called you today and said, hey, sorry, your parents passed away, but you're getting $3 million.
Yeah.
Be a nice you're surprise. You're a full-grown adult, responsible, you know, have your own family, kids, take care of everything. But have you ever dealt with that before? Like, what life experience do you have to know how to deal with that? Probably not. Yeah. So again, if it's more than expected, you know, does the family know how to handle it? You know, kind of deal with the shock factor, so to speak. Also, a lot of that depends on age and maturity. You know, a 50-year-old who's self-sufficient, getting a surprise $1 million versus a 19-year-old, way different ball game.
Right.
Okay, so I think a lot of that comes into play as well. And then probably the other one that people immediately think of is who's going to be in charge. Okay, and if it's someone within the family, is it who everyone would expect? You know, and a lot of times there is a handler in the family and everyone just assumes, oh, they help mom and dad out anyway. I'm sure they'll be in charge. Or if there's not one, well, they're the oldest. That's kind of a default that a lot of people use. Or what if it's someone different? You know, will it cause friction, surprise, jealousy? You know, hey, sis, why the heck did they put you in charge of this? I'm the oldest. I know what I'm doing here. Hey, that's something you don't want to worry about. And then the other piece is if they pick someone outside the family or maybe like an institution, you know, to manage the estate after you pass away, is the family going to know what to expect or who to contact or, hey, the financial advisor is taking care of this? Okay, so you'd be surprised that the amount of money is not the only thing that can cause people's jaw to fall through the floor.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of go through those different scenarios and talk through what maybe can happen and how to be prepared for those things potentially. Because I'm assuming most kids probably aren't too sure of what to expect, right? When they first, I guess if they have the conversation ahead of time, they're probably going to be surprised whether it's early or later, but you probably don't know what exactly you're getting.
That's true. That's true. Although, you know, if everything was, and we'll get to this next one here, you know, if there was someone unexpectedly included or someone cut out, that's surprising. But if you said, hey, your parents passed away, your oldest sibling is in charge, and all the kids get an equal piece of the pie, you'd probably sit there and nod your head and say, that makes sense. That sounds about right. Okay. You may not know how much was in the bank account, but that would say, that's what I expected. But if there's someone else who gets money, maybe a stepchild or a, you know, a second spouse, you know, if one of your parents passes away and they get remarried, or even if they don't get remarried, but they just live together, you know, the girlfriend, the boyfriend gets money. Wait a minute. She's got her own money. What about us? Okay, that could be a surprise. Or, you know, you want to leave someone else to get extra money. Or, hey, Ben, you're one of five, but the oldest child's getting less. Or the oldest child's getting more. You know, they get more money because they helped mom and dad out in their old age. Okay, so does anyone get upset about that? Is there retaliation? And a lot of times, the wrong person can be blamed. You pass away, and then you're in charge, you talk to the lawyer, and then you have to tell the rest of your siblings, hey guys, by the way, I'm in charge and I'm getting a little bit extra money. I don't know why mom and dad did that, but they did. You know, they're going to blame or they're going to question you because you're the only one left. Okay. And again, any other unexpected decisions that would cause, you know, an unwelcome surprise or something like that. So those are all the surprises. I guess if you, and there's other things as far as intentions and what you like and what you value and what your wishes are after someone passes away, which I think are better. But the big piece here, I think, at least starting off, is unexpected bad surprises usually don't end up with everyone and you know, being nice and keeping the harmony.
Yeah, I guess letting people know if there's anything unexpected is going to happen can really kind of prevent some issues within the family after you passed, right? I assume the money part, knowing kind of what to expect, is important, but it feels like those couple of things towards the end we discussed seem to be more important just to prevent any, you know, any fights or arguments breaking out from just something happening that was never expected.
100%. And also, like, I've had things, you know, that for people I know where someone gave extra money to one of the children. And it was for a very valid reason. And first off, they can give money to whoever they want. Okay, so they're within their right to do whatever they want. But they treated one of the kids different than the others for a specific reason. And they told all the kids. They said, here, we're leaving this person extra because they helped out with this and helped out with this. And they let us move into their house so we didn't have to go into a nursing home. So we're going to give them extra money because all the money they spent, you know, construction costs on a bedroom and, you know, in their living room. And one of them went from full-time to part-time to take care of them. And there were no fights because the parents told everyone. So the kids obviously knew that it was mom and dad wanting to do this as opposed to being influenced or the person saying, well, I'm doing all this for you, so you better give me extra money. Okay. It was the parents going and saying, here's what we're doing. Here's why we are doing it. And then also, you know, they can ask questions. And instead of asking some, you know, a brother after they pass away, after mom and dad pass away, because they can't ask mom and dad anymore, you know, they can say, mom, why did you decide to do that? It makes everyone understand there's no suspicion. Mom and dad are doing what they want to do, and it is not one of the other kids being evil. And then when the time comes, there's no surprise. If there was a shock, that has worn off. And then they passed away, and everything was fine. So there you can, for things like that, exactly right. If you know about it ahead of time, you know that it was what mom and dad wanted to do. And they said, here's what we want to do, and here's why. You know, you can kind of nod your head and say, okay, that makes sense, mom. I understand why you're doing it. As opposed to finding out later from your older brother, yeah, mom and dad gave me extra money because they came and lived with me. Huh? Right? Right. And again, not everyone would have a bad reaction to that. People would understand in a lot of cases. But there are times when it immediately raises suspicion. Okay, so yeah. Taking care of that smooths it all over. And in the instance I'm referring to, there was no issues, no fighting. Everyone was fine. Everyone still gets along fine, which is what mom and dad's intent was to begin with.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about why you want to have conversations about inheritance with your children and why you want to kind of fill them in on things. Another reason to do this is to let them know of your wishes and you pass along your family values, right? What's important to you, how that money, maybe you'd like it to be used.
Yeah, and this is, you know, we'll go to the positive side of this. I know we've been pretty dark and gloomy this whole episode. But I've had people say, you know, they spoke with the kids and they said, we're going to be leaving you some money. And we want you, you know, you do what you need to do to take care of your family. But, you know, these are charities that we think are important, but we're not going to force you to do it. Or, you know, the money that we're leaving to the grandkids, here's what we want it used for. We don't want them getting a $100,000 car when they're 16, but it'd be nice if there was money, you know, for tuition, for school. Perhaps one of them has medical problems and you want to make sure that they are okay. And, you know, something to that effect, or, hey, we have money and there's going to be plenty of money for the kids and the grandkids, but we don't want you to drop out of school and think you can just skate by on this. We want you to make your own way. Okay. We want you to be able to take care of yourself and be self-sufficient and responsible, you know, and obviously religious aspects go into that and, you know, kind of work ethic goes into that. And, you know, values on education go into that. And, you know, taking care of other family members goes into that. And, you know, here's the thing, Ben. You can't ask them that after they're gone.
Right.
Right? So the time to have that conversation is now. I also think it provides comfort for the parents that they had an ability to sit down and say, here's what I'm giving you the money. Here's how I would like it to be used. And then they can communicate that. And again, you know, the kids can ask questions if they need to. What do you mean by that? Why do you want that happening? And what did you want me to do with this money that I'm going to get? So I think it provides a lot of clarity. And look, some people, you know, think this is all, you know, kind of mushy type stuff and don't care about it. And if that's the case, you know, you can kind of ignore that. But there's a lot of people who, you know, it's a legacy, mm-hmm. right? And there's, you know, there's values and you know, family traditions and things like that that's important to them. And, you know, it's more than just money. It's what you do with the money. So for a lot of people, you'd be surprised what you do with the money is just as important as how much money. So there's a lot of people who are rolling their eyes, but you'd be surprised how many people that is super important when I talk to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, one last reason to discuss these things with your kids. Getting prepared for any legal or financial prep that needs to be done, right? So what specifically has to happen here but sometimes?
Well, and it's all the logistics here, okay? So, you know, and this is the specific logical steps to be done. Is there an estate plan in place? Yes, it was done. It's recently updated. Here's where we keep it. You are in charge. Here's where you look. Here's who you contact if something happens. You know, here's our financial plan. Here's where we keep a list of all our accounts. Here's who we bank with. Here's who to contact if something happens. So basically, where to look, what to look for, and what to do. And then, is there any professional guidance that they may need during all this? You know, the attorney guidance, the investment guidance, tax. If there's a family business, you know, obviously, like if something happened to me today, you know, someone would have to be able to say, here's how Rosenbauer Law Office is run. Here's when payroll is due. You know, here's what needs to happen while the company's being transferred. So certain things like that require more than just, hey, call the guy at Fidelity. That's where all the money is. Okay. But again, you don't want it to be a treasure hunt, and you don't need to tell everyone everything, but you need to tell them where to find everything. So just the logistical, we have everything buttoned up. It's taken care of. It's recently up to date. If something happens to us, everything's in the closet or the spare bedroom, and you know, you'll have direction to take it from there. Okay, so just the logistics here, so to speak. You don't need to give them a financial, you know, investment certification, and they don't need to go to law school and get a CPA designation. But mm-hmm. knowing what to do, what to find, where to look, and who to reach out to for help just makes life easier, makes the transition easier, less unknowns, and also less risk of people not finding everything. Because how do you know where they're going to look
yeah.
and what they're going to throw out and what they're going to see as important paperwork? So again, just a little something like that. And you don't even have to disclose that much in order to do it. Just let them know something happens. Everything's buttoned up. Here's where you look. Here's who you call. That's usually good enough.
Gotcha. All right. Some good information again you might not have considered. Looping your kids in or wondered how much you should actually tell them, but hopefully this will kind of explain why and give you some reasons to have those conversations and do so with an estate planning attorney. Makes it a lot easier and you can kind of go through and make sure everything's buttoned up. If you want to talk with Nick, again, his number, 513-463-6789 or online, CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. You can schedule a call there as well, plus access any of Nick's resources that he has on his website. But ultimately, it is important to have those conversations because what they don't know can hurt them, right, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely right. So, yeah, just less surprises, the better. Helps you out and also allows them to do a better job of taking care of you and honoring your wishes when the time comes.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being a part of this episode of Complete Estate Planning. Please hit subscribe. We'll talk to you again soon.
The Complete Estate Planning Podcast is brought to you by the Rosenbauer Law Office, based in Westchester, Ohio, and serving the entire Cincinnati area. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Complete Estate Planning with Nick Rosenbauer to find us. or visit CincinnatiEstatePlan.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Nick, and to learn more about protecting your family legacy. That's CincinnatiEstatePlan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only and does not provide any legal advice. Information on this show may not constitute the most up-to-date legal information. Please do not act or refrain from acting based solely on anything you hear on this show. This show does not form any attorney-client relationship with the Rosenbauer Law Office, LLC. Please seek the counsel of a qualified attorney before addressing your own estate planning needs.